You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans.
Everybody, welcome to the Steeler Fan Podcast presented by Steel City Blitz and Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. I am Steel Dad, Retro Rock City, otherwise known as Matt, is not with us tonight, but I am very pleased to talk some Steelers post-draft stuff with Chris. And Chris, I'm not Italian. Pronounce your last name for me.
It's actually Greek. It's Nicolau.
Well, that's why I wasn't pronouncing Italian. Nicolau. Chris is an analyst for Draft Breakdown, which, as far as I'm concerned, when you start wanting to look at draft video, it's the place to go. I don't know of any other place to go. You guys do a fantastic job there. And you can follow Chris on Twitter. He's an excellent Twitter follow, not just for Steelers talk, but NFL and college football talk as well. Follow him at CNICNFL. And Chris, welcome to the show, and I'm anxious to hear your comments on the Steelers draft now that we've had a couple weeks to let it all sit in.
Hey, thanks, Mark, for having me on here.
Hey, my pleasure. And okay, so the Steelers, I think a lot of people were looking at some other guys as the draft started to break. Everybody's thinking, oh, my God, William Jackson III, he's going to be right there. And then, of course, the Bengals take him, and we go with Artie Burns. And I don't know about you. The feeling I got was it was not the most glamorous pick, according to Steelers fans. However, what are your thoughts on Artie Burns?
When Cincinnati made the pick of William Jackson, my heart kind of, sank to my stomach.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, who else is on the board? You know, what's it going to break down to? And, you know, they want to go cornerback, so they picked up Artie Burns. Personally, had a, second round grade on him. So I wasn't too thrilled with the pick. Some other guys that could have been, you know, in consideration were, you know, Vernon Butler, Miles Jack, Noah Spence for sure. So you're kind of thinking, like, they passed on these guys for a reason. They must like him a lot, and, they went with Artie Burns. And I like the aggressiveness, you know, breaking that trend since 1997, Chad Scott. I like the aggressiveness of, you know, going out and getting your guy.
Well, and that's – I think that's where we have to applaud the Steelers. You know, if we're to believe everything they said, and look, the draft season is all about smokescreens, whether it's before, during, or after. But we really don't have any reason to believe otherwise. They were very excited about him. They love his potential. My only argument with him was I thought he was a little raw for a first round guy. I was like you. I had him pegged as a guy in the second round, especially if we had gone safety or defensive lineman in the first round. I thought he was going to be a perfect second round pick. But I heard other teams had pretty high grades on him as well. And, based on what I heard this week about rookie camp and talking to some people that had a chance to see him and second-round pick Sean Davis, who we'll get to in a second, they like the look of these guys in the secondary. And, again, we have to caution, it's just 3 days of rookie camp here, so don't get the Super Bowl tickets just yet. But I think it's a pick that maybe over time Steelers fans will warm to. If the longer he sits and doesn't play because he's young or he doesn't know the defense, I think it gets frustrating for Steeler fans. But I think overall I've warmed up to this pick a little bit.
Look, Mark, he's long, fluid. He's an athlete, track star, 6 foot, pretty good arm length at 33 and a quarter inches, weight at 193. He's a long, fluid guy, so that's what they were trying to look for, in their opposing corner to William Gay. They drafted Senquez Golson last year. He's 5'9". The only other, taller cornerback on this roster is Ross Cockrell, and right now, he's kind of iffy, So they kind of want to get an athlete in there who's tall, lean. He is raw, and you kind of hit the nail there. But I think he's going to learn the system and kind of get in and do what he can. you know, in terms of scheme, I thought the scheme was a little, you know, I thought he was more of a man-to-man guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of run a zone here in Pittsburgh. So that, to me, was kind of, you know, iffy. But I think that, you know, maybe they'll run a little bit more man. You know, they'll kind of stick him on maybe the best guy, you know, maybe the A.J. Green. You know, stick him on A.J. Green. You know, stick him on, you know, Josh Gordon if he ever comes back. You know, stick him on, you know, their best receiver or their biggest receiver and say, you know, man him up and then we'll, you know, worry about the other side later.
Well, and you brought up a great point. I when I first was looking at him, I thought, yeah, okay, this guy is. You're right. He's long. He's lean. He's super fast, super athletic. But he does. He fits more of a man type thing. And I guess from the Steelers' perspective, they figure that they can take a guy who's more man and turn him into some zone rather than the opposite. You know, plus, I mean, does he fit if what we're seeing with this potential transition to the 4-3, does he fit in that as much as he might fit in the zone-oriented 3-4?
Yeah, I think he does, but I'm not a full believer that we're going to a 4-3.
Okay.
Just not yet. You know, it's kind of hard to peg on, you know, that front seven. It's all about the front seven. The secondary, I feel like they can tweak a little bit in terms of, you know, that transition. But, you know, who do you put where and, you know, does their skill set match up? It's kind of – it's a huge debate. You know, Steelers fans are really knocking on the – or pounding on the table for this 4-3 transition. It's kind of hard to, you know, peg where they're going. Mike Tomlin's from Minnesota, so he knows the 4-3. But yeah. Keith Butler has been a 3-4 guy, you know, his entire career.
Okay, yeah, and that makes good sense. I mean, I know those two go back quite a ways. They've coached together in the past, and you're right. You got a 3-4 guy and a 4-3 guy. But let me transition from first round pick here to our second round pick, which again was another one of these picks. I think a lot of fans, they like the sexy pick type stuff, the big names, the guys from big football schools. I like the Sean Davis pick. I like guys that are around the football. I like guys, you know, people were barking about all his missed tackles. Well, when you make as many tackles as that kid did at Maryland, you're going to miss some too. What are your thoughts on Davis?
Look, I'll be quite honest with you. I was more maybe shocked than disappointed, but I really thought they were going to go with Von Bell out of Ohio State. As okay. an Ohio State fan and knowing that, you know, there's a pipeline from Ohio State to Pittsburgh, and absolutely. We all know it. So, and they needed someone at safety, and they went some, you know, another way. They liked Sean Davis, and they liked his productivity, his versatility, like what he can do around the football. You know, they can, you know, move him around a little bit, and I think he's more of the he's more pro ready than Artie Burns right now, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You put on the tape, 6'1", 203. He is a strong guy. You know, pick you up, lift and put you down real quick. 21 reps on the bench press for him. So he's an explosive athlete. Some guys had him, you know, late first. Some guys had him, you know, around the fourth round. I have warmed up to this pick like no other. I'm loving this pick. Yeah. So, you know, I'm all for it, and I really like their aggressiveness to go, you know, back to the secondary and really, you know, revamp it.
Yeah, and I one of the things that was coming out of the rookie camp from some of the beat guys was just the overall difference that secondary had when you saw the length and the speed of both of those guys back there. And again, I hate to be the voice of reason. There's a long way to go. There's OTAs and there's training camp and there's a lot of study for these guys before they're ready to go as full-time players. But I think the potential has people pretty excited for what these two guys can do back there. And you mix them with the veterans of Mitchell and William Gay, and you really start to maybe have something in there. And, of course, you got Senquez Golson, who's essentially a rookie too. I'm excited about these guys. I kind of get more excited with each passing day. I've always been a draft person who tries to take it, you know, 50-50, even keel, grain of salt type thing, just because you don't know. But excited about those guys. And the one guy, this was the only guy I had right in my mock draft, Chris, was Javon Hargrave out of South Carolina State. Defensive lineman, the guy is a beast, and I understand he played at a much smaller level of school than a lot of other guys. What are your thoughts on the choice of him in the third and then where he ultimately fits?
I was ecstatic to get this guy. You know, finally putting on the tape probably a month before the draft got on. Man, I was, one word, explosive. And he's also strong, gets to the football very quickly. Take no prisoner kind of guy. Off the field, I'm hearing high character guy.
Yeah.
He would have went to a bigger school, just didn't have the grades. So he kind of went to the D2 school and tore it up. So, you know, I'm extremely happy about this pick, especially when you have John Mitchell as your defensive line coach. You can't go wrong, and he's going to mold this guy into someone special.
Well, and that's – I was going to say that too. I think when you've got Mitchell there, you don't mess around with a guy like that. He's experienced. He's coached up some pretty darn good defensive linemen. And you know, Hargrave has one of those things you just don't coach, and that's essentially motor, you know. And, I mean, this kid just gets after it. So he was my most exciting guy just again because I kind of nailed him in my mock. But, you know, those top three I'm very excited about. And then we get to the fourth guy, and that's where you get the offensive tackle, Hawkins out of LSU. And I'm still – this is the one I get it, but I don't get it. What can you do to steer me in the right direction here, Chris, on Hawkins?
I can do nothing. Honestly, to be honest, this was a horrible, not a horrible pick, but this is not the direction I would have went. Gerald Hawkins, a guy that I had maybe like a 6-round grade on, it was just not good. He was in the Sean Coleman, you know, area for me. Doesn't do anything well. He's a big guy, not very athletic. I think that that Munchak has a lot to work with, but it's going to take some time. I see people, you know, telling me that he's going to be the starting left tackle. I said he better not be.
I think I'm
right
with
tackle
you.
Or put him at guard and see what he could do in a phone booth. But I'm not too hype on this pick.
No, and this is the one I wasn't either, and I think you may have struck a chord there. I think that's maybe what they're going to do with him. I think they're going to make him potentially a swing guy, a guy who can maybe play tackle but also play guard if necessary. I just have a gut feeling about that. You know, look, he had some moments at LSU where he looked kind of solid. He had a little bit of injury problems, but at this pick, this was not where I thought they were going, and I really didn't think so, especially because, you know, they seem to be fairly high on Villanueva, and then they brought in the young Harris from Denver who filled in for Ryan Clady out there and, you know, helped get them to a Super Bowl title. So I was a little bit surprised by that as well. In the fifth round, of course, the Steelers did not have a pick. That was the draft pick given up to the Eagles for Brandon Boykin, but I've spent way too much time of my life spending on that. So we'll move into the sixth round. And in the sixth, that is where they went with the linebacker out of the University of Washington, Travis Feeney, who I heard this week, Chris, he will sport some dreadlocks in October, very similar to D'Angelo Williams with the pink tint. But be that as it may, a little excited about this guy, tall, lean, got some decent speed. What are we looking at with this kid as a 6th-round pick?
I have absolutely no problem with this pick, but there is a disclaimer here that I would have taken Jeremy Cash a long time ago. I'm really confused on why he dropped or, you know, still haven't heard anything, but that's my disclaimer. I would have taken him in the 4th, so, you know, that's my disclaimer there. But Travis Feeney, no problem with him. They're going to keep him at that weight, and they're going to kind of use him as a hybrid guy, I think, especially in sub-package football. Rush the passer, cover cover guys out of backfield, use that speed. He's a speed guy. The only knock on him really is the weight a little bit, and he has a little bit of an injury history.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think you're right. I think it is going to be that hybrid type guy. I don't think they're going to try to slap a bunch of weight on him. And the injuries are there. You know, as soon as that pick was made, that was a guy I hadn't really looked at a lot, so I didn't know a lot about him. But you know, to go back to your comment about Cash, I still don't understand that. That was a guy that early on was kind of seen as a second round pick, almost a solid second round pick type lock. And where did he end up going?
He signed as a undrafted free agent with Carolina.
Yeah. That was one of the stunners of this draft in my mind. Real quick, Chris, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to get a spot here from our wonderful sponsors at Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. You're listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. For $29.95 a month, you get 24-hour access, and there's no contract. Body Tech offers a full juice bar, powerlifting room, yoga, spinning classes, silver sneakers, student rates, a woman's only room, and certified personal trainers. If you need to get back in shape or you're just looking to build on what you have, get into Body Tech today. They're located on Perry Highway in Pittsburgh. Call 412-364-7334 and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you. All right, we are back, and again, we are with Chris Nicolau. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. He is an analyst at Draft Breakdown. He is a guy very close to the city of Pittsburgh, and you can follow him on Twitter at CNICNFL. A great follow on Twitter, good Steelers talk, level-headed guy. I always appreciate that on Twitter. I don't find you to be reactionary at all. You don't get too high, you don't get too low, which is good for social media, at least in my opinion. And we are talking draft, and we've kind of covered the first five picks here, and that leaves us with those two seventh-round picks, the first of which was the receiver out of Houston, Mr. DeMarcus Ayers. What do you got on Ayers, Chris?
I had a sixth round grade on him as a returner and a slot receiver. And the reason why this is such a good pick is because we need a return guy.
Yep.
You know, kick return, punt return, both. I'm always scared when Antonio Brown goes back for a punt. I'm always scared.
Amen.
So, you know, getting him in there, getting him in the mix, and Steelers fans, don't get this mixed up with Dree Archer. He's not Dree Archer. From a receiving standpoint, he is raw, but he's a productive guy. Speedy, he's a lot faster than his 4.7, 4.8 that he ran, a lot faster. So I'm really liking this pick. I would have taken him in the sixth, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. The only guy I would have taken over him is Jalen Mills, the free safety out of LSU. But I assume that the off-field issues are just scaring the Steelers away from, you know, any off-field issues. They're just not going to get dealt with it.
Yeah, I think they made a very pointed direction, if you will, of that this season. I think they wanted to stay away from any of those potential headaches. Now, Ayers, real quick. Now, he when I watch him on tape, he strikes me as a guy that has good speed, but it's his quickness that blows me away. He seems to have an ability which all returners, good returners, have. He's got that one move, make the guy miss, and then he gets positive yards. Are you seeing some of that too?
He's extremely slippery. Extremely slippery. Makes the first guy miss almost every time. So as long as he's not, you know, not fair catching the ball,
yeah,
he shouldn't be, I think he's going to be just fine.
Now, the problem I see with him is if he is a good return man and he's the guy they want to go with, kick return, punt return, does that mean that they possibly carry six receivers on Sunday then? Because, you know, like you said, he's pretty raw as a receiver. Would he be able to be the fifth receiver?
You know, you have AB,
yep,
you have Sammy Coates, you have Marcus Wheaton. You know, that those are your starting three in your 12 person or your 11 personnel. And then you have to go DHB in yep. terms of, you know, that reliable guy who can come in, give you some snaps. Productive guy last year when he was in there. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially on special teams. So he's giving you those snaps. So that's four. He might be that fifth receiver. I'm not sure. I really liked what I saw in training camp last year when I was there with Eli Rogers.
Yes.
So he could be a guy that's an up and comer. So you just never know how many they're gonna you know, keep on the roster or, you know, put on game day. So I can see him as maybe the fifth or sixth guy. I can see that. Well, especially with Ladarius Green taking those Joker type snaps at wide receiver. So if he does do that, then maybe they only take five.
And that makes a ton of sense to me. And I'm glad you mentioned Rodgers, because he was a guy I really liked too. I liked his tape, and I thought he had some potential to be a nice fourth or fifth option there. And as we move towards the end of the draft here, the Steelers went with a guy that he just seems to be a Steeler through and through. He's a linebacker out of Temple, Tyler Matakevich. When I see this guy, all I see is a football player. I mean, I don't see speed. I don't see tremendous strength. I just see a guy that finds his way to the football and knows where he's supposed to be. Am I seeing the right things?
He's an extremely poor man's Kiko Alonso, I think. That. Not athletic, not speedy. Football IQ will bring him to the ball quickly. Reads plays very well, and a very, very good tackler.
Is he a guy that, where do the Steelers use him? Does he become just a special teams guy? I mean, obviously, if they keep him on an active roster, he's going to have to be somewhat adequate at playing linebacker if needed. Is he more of an inside guy or an outside guy?
He's an inside guy. I think he takes Terrence Garvin's role there. Got to earn his way up, just like Vince Williams has done in the special teams role. So I think that's where they're going to go with him.
Okay.
And the only two guys that I would have kind of put in the mix with the debate for that last pick is Austin Blythe, the center out of Iowa. I think we can use the center depth. I'm not too high on Cody Wallace.
Right.
And then Kalon Reed, the cornerback out of Southern Miss, the guy I really, really liked. Tennessee trade up to get him. So, he's the other guy that you can bring in and get more cornerback depth, especially if you're going to move Duran Grant to safety.
Have you heard anything more on that? I keep kind of reading the tea leaves on Grant moving to safety, because they sure don't discuss him much at corner.
It's very lukewarm right now. I'm not really hearing anything definite, or, there's very low talks about it.
So we've covered the draft, and let me go back up to the first round. There was some discussion that Dallas was trying to move up, and eventually, obviously, Denver did to take the quarterback out of Memphis in the first round, Paxton Lynch. And the Steelers admitted they did have conversations with Denver. What were your thoughts there? Obviously, they are saying all the right things about they're very happy with Artie Burns. What was your take there? Should they have kept that pick? Should they have traded it for more picks? What do you think?
Dropping back all those spots, I'm not sure that any of their guys would have been there that they would have had that higher grade on.
Yeah.
So, it might have been the right move to stay in Pat, but also, not having a fifth or sixth round pick in terms of non-compensatory,
right.
You maybe could have used those extra picks.
Well, and that's where I was. I mean, the Steelers are not known as a team that necessarily moves around in the draft a lot anyway. And I think for me, sometimes I get caught up in the rivalry with the Ravens, because I think the Ravens do an outstanding job of moving around in the draft and adding a pick here and adding a pick there. And I really thought it was a perfect opportunity for us to do that. However, like you said, there was a lot of questions whether Burns was going to be there. And then, of course, the draft changes from what's in front of you and stuff. But it's hindsight's always 20/20. It would have been very, very interesting to see what they had been able to do had they done that. Have you had a chance to look at any of the undrafted free agents the Steelers signed in the hours after the draft?
A few, and a guy I'm actually extremely high on right now. I just can't get this out of my head is. His name is, I think it's Kanan.
Yeah,
Severin.
I'm looking at him right now.
went back at his tape. I said, "How did this guy get out of the sixth round?"
Well, here's the story I've gotten, and I felt the same way, Chris. I mean, 6'2", 205. I mean, the guy's a beast. Virginia was not a good football team, and their offense was not good. He didn't have good quarterbacks. I think he had a little bit of an injury issue and started kind of slowly. But I've been told this by two different people who I really trust, and they said, keep an eye on this kid. They're not making any guarantees whatsoever, but they said they really believe this kid is definitely a shot to make the practice squad. Just big, goes after the ball really well, and creates space between him and the defender. And like you, I asked the same thing. I'm like, how did this kid not get drafted? And it just looks like he got lost in the numbers game because he didn't have a lot of good numbers because this team just wasn't real good.
I'll say a few things here. If there's one thing I trust with the Steelers, it's developing wide receivers, and you've seen it through and through.
Yeah.
Tyler Murphy last year, guy was a quarterback, developed him, you know, as far as they could. He's picked up on another team right now. I think the Miami Dolphins picked him up.
Yes.
They have confidence in him. This team could develop wide receivers. I'm not worried about, you know, Caden Severin. Another thing who I compare him to is Jericho Cautry in terms of what he used to be. He's a possession receiver, won't give you very much after the catch,
yeah,
but he has sticky hands, and I really like the pick. He goes up for it. He'll fight for those extra yards, but you know, most of the time he's getting you first downs. On third down, he is your go-to guy if AB's not there, or you know, he can definitely stretch the field. He can do a lot for you, so I really like that pick, or that pickup.
Yeah, he's built very similar to Jericho Cautry too. Now that I'm looking at the numbers, I'm excited about this. I think most of us are over the loss of Martavis Bryant. Look, it sucks. You want that kid to get his life straight and get back on the field as soon as possible, but he's got plenty of things he needs to take care of. And I'm with you. I think the receiving core is going to be fine. They develop them like crazy, and we're just going to need to really develop that defense. But for me, that is about it for tonight. I've kept you about 30 minutes, I think 5 minutes longer than I promised, so I'll check in the mail. my guest tonight has been Chris Nicolau, who is a draft analyst for Draft Breakdown, one of the best sites for draft film and draft prospect breakdown and all that stuff. Make sure you check that out if you're a draft guy. He's also a member of the Pro Football Writers Association of America. And you can follow him on Twitter at CNICNFL, and he's an excellent follow there. So for tonight, I will cut it short. Thank you for listening to the Steel City Blitz Steelers Fan Podcast, and we are out.
Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the contact us option on the right side of the homepage. steelcityblitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.